Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Maybe you should be sad because the world's falling apart and you're feeling joy. It's because of what's happening within you. It's because of who's within you. It really is a building of your life. Just Him adding that salt to the earth like He talks that He's gonna do. It's because we're meant to be salt and light, shining bright. And it happens as that transformation in our life just takes place because of, not because of anything we do, except for that ability to surrender and wait on God. When we come to those moments of, I'm just gonna rest here. I'm just gonna stay in this moment and I'm gonna look to You and everything. I'm gonna go after You in the Bible. Can I tell you, we've all had those moments where you open your Bible and you read it and you say, God, I'm expecting something, but I feel like I'm not getting anything. And that's okay. Because it happens, but don't stop pressing in. Don't stop going after Him. Because He has more. And He is there. And He is speaking to you.
Good morning, church. I tell you, isn't it beautiful to be here in the house of the Lord on the first day of the year? And we're going to start it with communion. So I'm going to, while they're serving you communion, going to work on sharing some scripture with you. But also, it lines up with what we've already heard. And it's just amazing that when God causes us to take time to share, we discover that we're on the same path. The Holy Spirit is here so strong. And, you know, He enables us to be quickened and to be able to do the things like they did there in Walmart. And we can do it wherever we are, whether we work, whether we are in our neighborhood ministering to others. We can be that salt and light. So the scripture that I have today is Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. And that's doing exactly what they did. Wherever you are, whether it's smiling at someone, maybe letting someone go in front of you in line, and you know there's a long line, but yet you see they have one item. Sometimes, you know, we can be a blessing to others, especially when they feel like, oh my gosh, I got to wait in this long line. And you turn around and you say, go ahead of me. That is a blessing. And that is just showing God's love. And that's what we need to be doing, is showing His love. Because of Jesus through His death, barriers are removed between God and man. We can approach with confidence and with boldness. And that's every single day. When you communicate with the Lord, that's communion. We're going to have communion that is going to bring many things to you, and I'll share that with you. But remember, we live in positions as sons and daughters. The authority and power that dwells in you can change environments. Do you know that where you can walk, you can change the environment, and people can feel the Holy Spirit in you wherever you walk? And it's an amazing feeling when you walk with this countenance that says, I belong to the Lord. And so, you know, just know you can do that. You are equipped, you know, to do whatever it is that He asks you to speak. Even when you feel like, I can't do this, you can. Because God's Word tells us we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So, you know that we can help miracles happen via our faith, via our care and commitment to walk in whatever it is the Lord is saying, I want you to walk or speak in. So, I'm going to, today, as we take communion, remember, this is something that is for you. Individually, we're going to take it corporately, but it's for you. And it's going to bring you a lot of different aspects to it. So I just want you to, if you could take a moment, please, and everybody stand so that we can honor the Lord. So the purpose of communion is to receive from Christ nourishment, strength, hope, and joy. The bread signifies the body of Christ, which was broken for you. He took on all sin, iniquity, rebellion, disease, grief, and shame. So if you would please take the bread. And those of you that are new here, the bread is right underneath your juice. Okay, so please take the bread. Okay, the grape juice represents the blood that he shed for you to establish the new covenant. It brought you forgiveness of sin and set you apart in holiness. So if you please take the cup. Know that no matter where you walk, whether at work, at home, in the stores, you can live in total communion with the Holy Spirit. He longs to bring the kingdom to earth wherever you walk. So he longs to lead you in a greater awareness of his love and presence in your life. It's so important that now you begin sharing that hope and that love that Jesus gives you and the Holy Spirit leads you to others. So they may be drawn to you by his Holy Spirit, not because you're special, but you're unique to him and you are special to him. And so let that just live in you and start creating communion, not only with the Lord, but all those that you come in contact with. So thank you so much. Now I'm going to introduce you to who's going to preach to us today. Happens to be a relative. So Abe, if you could come forth, and he's going to give us the word as God has given it to him. And I'm just going to, you can all have a seat. They will be collecting your cups, and I'm going to say a prayer. So Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the word that you're going to give us through Abe today. Thank you, Lord, that your anointing is upon him. And that I ask that you open the ears of those who receive his word. Each one of us have a special, how we receive is different, but how we receive is from the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we just thank you for your grace. We thank you for your word and your anointing over Abe. And I just ask that you give blessings to everyone here and that they will walk and be the salt and light with whoever they come in contact with. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning, church. Happy New Year. You know, a lot of people, they look at the New Year. I mean, some people look at it as just like another day. But most people will look back on it and reflect on what's happened in the year. They'll also look forward to what could happen in the new year. Could be something where, you know, you're looking to like those cliche things, you know, eat healthy, work out, do those types of things. But, you know, us as Christians, it should be every day. Every day is a new day. Every day is a chance for us to grow. Every day is a chance for us to change. And that's because we're empowered by God. you know, we should also not be just looking for what it is that we want to do with our lives. If we want to actually live a life where it has meaning, we should be looking for what God wants for our lives. And that comes through revelation. That comes through having a vision. Proverbs 29:18 says this: where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. In the King James Version, it might be more familiar to you, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So this is about somebody who actually has a relationship with God, who knows God well. This is somebody who knows the word of God in such a way that they can take everything that is happening in their lives and look at it through a biblical lens so that they react in the way that they're supposed to. All of us should have vision. All of us should be seeking revelation. God is always speaking. He will give it to you. All you need to do is ask. There was a man who he saw the promises of God. He knew the word of God. He had a relationship with God. His name was Nehemiah. And there was a burden placed on his heart to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. So let's go to Nehemiah. This is chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It says, "The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that has survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, 'Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire.' When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." If you have no idea what your purpose is in this life, one way to get it is to know God, but also to have love for God's people. We need that relationship, we need that love in order to know anything about God. And then it goes on, verses 5 through 7. "Then I said, 'Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Now, you know, this is a man of God. He loves God, loves his people. He has a burden on his heart for his people to help them. But I think there's one very important thing that we should recognize here. He doesn't think that he is necessarily blameless, that there are things where he's done wrong. There are places where he can grow. And you know, there's also some people that see the world right now and they say it's a dark place. Does anybody agree with that? Okay. Say our country, it's a dark place. But we have to recognize that part of that responsibility is on us. If you ask somebody who's not a believer right now what a Christian is the first thing going to be about loving people, loving God, because that's all it should be. You know, we act at times in a way that I would say is sinful to those that oppose us. If you bring up politics with anybody, there's a lot of people that just lose their minds. They cannot control their tongue, cannot control their anger, their temper. And that's just one small place. You know, in In this story, it comes on a little bit later, but there's a man who opposes what Nehemiah is doing, and his name is Sanballat. And he does this. I didn't give you the scriptures, so I'm just going to read it from here. But it's Nehemiah 6, 1 through 9. And it says, "When word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies, that I rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors and the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me. So I sent messengers to them with this reply. I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you?" See, that's something we need to remember. If we have a purpose to carry out for God, we need to be focused on that, not on the opposition, because that's not going to get us anywhere. Who does vengeance belong to? The Lord. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." God fights for us. It's important we stay on task. It says, "Four times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Then the fifth time, Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter, in which was written, 'It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it is true, that you and Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you're about to become their king, and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king. So come, let us meet together.' I sent him this reply: 'Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head.' They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I prayed, 'Now strengthen my hands.'" So it's just an example of when we see things in the world that are bad, instead of fighting against them, let's do the thing that we're supposed to do, which is love those people, bless your enemies, do not curse them, but then also do whatever it is that God has tasked you with in building up people, encouraging them, and converting them to Christianity, to know Jesus, to have a relationship, to know his love, to have eternal life. Because God is the one who will fight for us. So, it says in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, "Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name.'" So, one thing to know is this is actually part of the return from exile. Does everybody remember Jeremiah 29:11? "I know the plans I have for you." Yeah. At the beginning of all that, it says that I'm going to send you into exile. I want you to set up homes, set up gardens, grow food, eat it. I want you to marry your sons and daughters. I mean, that sounds weird. I want you to have children, and then I want you to have those children marry. Not each other people, okay? Don't worry, I'll read it eventually. So. Oh, well, not that one, but yeah. So this is, he's calling back to a promise God had made decades ago. And the thing is that he believed what God said would happen is going to happen. And that's one thing that we should always do. That's why it's important to know the word of God, is that you can use it in your prayer. It's a very effective prayer where you say, "Well, God, your word says this. Do this for me now, please." Know what you're asking for. Know why you're asking for it. So in Jeremiah 29:11, we all know that first verse, right? But it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. You will call on me and come to pray to me, and I will listen to you." So that's what happens after 29:11, is that we have to call on God. We have to pray to him, right? That's when he'll listen to us. "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." These people in Nehemiah, he was seeking God with all of his heart. You see, he felt the pain of his people, and he was seeking out God earnestly. It wasn't just like a throwaway prayer, like, "Oh, well, I need this, so I'll ask for that and hope I get it." It was something where he actually was searching God earnestly. It says, "I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." In Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 10 through 11, this is still the prayer of Nehemiah. It says, "They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was the cupbearer to the king." So the cupbearer wasn't just the guy, this guy here wasn't just the guy that tasted stuff to make sure the king didn't die, but he was actually somebody very close to the king. He had influence with him. So in chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, it says, "In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, 'Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of the heart.'" Remember, Nehemiah prayed for favor with this king. And he said, "I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, 'May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?' The king said to me, 'What is it you want?' Then I prayed to God of heaven." Now remember, he's still talking to the guy, right? So he's like standing in his presence. It'd probably be a little bit weird if he's like, "Hold on." It's like, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," you know? So it's okay to have a quick prayer, but it's actually very good to pray about whatever it is you're doing, even in the moment. So it says, "And I answer the king, 'If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it.' Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, 'How long will your journey take, and when will you get back?' It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. So he went out with some of the king's horses and some of the king's men to put the wall of Jerusalem back together again." Sorry, I had to throw that in there, okay? So he shows up in Jerusalem, and he actually toured it. And he did this at night, and there were places the wall was just destroyed, city was just, you know, and ruins. And he didn't tell anybody ahead of time, any officials or anything of the city, that he would be doing that. But then in chapter 2, verse 16, this is where he talks to them. It says, "The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because as yet I had said nothing to the Jews or the priests or the nobles or officials or any others who would be doing the work. Then I said to them, 'You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace.' I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king has said to me. They replied, 'Let us start rebuilding.' So they began this good work." So Jerusalem not having a wall was important because it showed that they were defeated. It showed that they were unprotected, that they weren't worth obsessing over. Like, they're just defeated. We don't have to worry about these people. We could do what we want with them. I mean, you heard in the scripture I read that they were disgraced by what they had. And, you know, we have an opportunity in this new year, and not only in this new year, but each new day, to rebuild what has been destroyed. And it can be a relationship. It can be a career, a business. It can even be our image and how we conduct ourselves as God's people. And we can even see what rebuilding can do to those around us. And this speech, this next scripture, it talks about when the wall was completed. And it's Nehemiah 6, verse 16. And it says, when all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Now, we don't need to make people fearful, right? But, you know, the changes that we can go through, they can make people realize that there is something different about you. And they can draw them in to say, you know, what is it about you that's different? And you can show them that it's God that makes you different. It's you having the Holy Spirit. It's you following Jesus that is different. It's something that inspires other people to seek out faith in God. So, there's actually quite a bit that happens in the next few chapters. After the wall was built, more of the exiles returned. The law of Moses was read. It was read by Ezra from 6 to noon. So in honor of that, we're going to be here till about, was it 4? We started at 10? Yeah? Well, why are you laughing? That's not a joke. We're going to do this. No? Other people, I'm like, I'm out. there was even a time where the people were crying out, saying, amen, amen. And then they bowed down and they worshiped the Lord with their face to the ground. You know, worship is important. You know, if you don't, like, give something of yourself during worship, I encourage you to, because it's not really about you and how you look. It's about what you're offering to God. It's a sacrifice of praise, right? You know, I'm not the greatest singer, but I'll still sing to God. Yeah. Come on. Amen to, like, I'll still sing to God, or to, like, I'm not the greatest singer. Oh, my mom with the bird. Amen and amen. Wow. Okay. Man. So what happened is, after that, they were wept at their disobedience because of the reading of the law. When the Levites read the law of Moses to the people started feeling terrible about themselves, right? Because they had noticed that they had broken so many laws. But they were then told, hey, don't weep. This is actually a day to be happy. So then they all partied, right? And they all ate together, gave food to one another. And then they mourned, they fasted, confessed their sins. And they made an oath to follow God again. More exiles came in to live in Jerusalem. Leaders came in to live in Jerusalem, leaders of Israel. And the wall was dedicated. And then chapter 13 happened. Now, if you know Israel, they kind of have a cycle, right? Does anybody know what that cycle is? Doing good for a while, and then they go wayward. Okay. And then they do good for a while and go wayward. Right? So they had all this. And then in chapter 13, this is verses 4 through 11, it says, before this, Eliashib, the priest, had been put in charge of the storerooms of the house of our God. He was closely associated with Tobiah. And he provided him with a large room formerly used to store the grain offerings and incense and temple articles and also tithes of grain, new wine, and olive oil prescribed to the, for the Levites. And this is one of the guys that was opposing Nehemiah in his rebuilding of the walls, Tobiah. And it says, let's see. But while all this was going on, I was not in Jerusalem. For in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, I had returned to the king. Sometime later, I asked his permission and came back to Jerusalem. So this is, I believe, somewhere about like 9 years after they rebuilt the wall. And it said, I was greatly, here I learned about the evil thing Eliashib had done in providing Tobiah a room in the courts of the house of God. I was greatly displeased and threw all Tobiah's household goods out of the room. I gave orders to purify the rooms, and then I put back into them the equipment of the house of God and the grain offerings and the incense. Does that sound familiar to anybody? There was this other guy who was also God, named Jesus, went around flipping some tables because they were using his temple wrong, right? Yeah. As I told the kids, he, what was it? Went off on some people? I don't know. Yeah, so, because, I mean, he even made a whip, came at people, drove them out. So, said, I also learned that the portions assigned to the Levites had not been given to them, and that all the Levites and musicians responsible for the service had gone back to their own fields. So I rebuked the officials and asked them, why is the house of God neglected? Then I called them together and stationed them at their posts. And he also saw people working on the Sabbath. And he said, I rebuked the nobles. And this is Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 17 through 18. It says, I rebuked the nobles of Judah and said to them, what is this wicked thing you're doing, desecrating the Sabbath day? Didn't your ancestors do the same things so that our God brought all this calamity on us in this city? Now you are stirring up more wrath against Israel by desecrating the Sabbath. And then people were also marrying non-believers. They were told not to marry these people. And said, I rebuked them and called curses down on them. I beat some of the men and pulled out their hair. I mean, that's rough. Now, if you see any bald people, those are probably the wise people, right? Because they've already been taught. Like, you know, us with hair, we still need some things to learn, I guess. I don't know. But that's crazy, right? So I made them take an oath in God's name and said, you're not to give your daughters in marriage to their sons, nor are you to take their daughters in marriage for your sons or for yourselves. You know, in the New Testament, it talks about do not be unequally yoked. You know, don't marry a non-believer because, you know, what does light have to do with darkness, right? There's going to be some conflict in that. What Nehemiah saw after all this time, all this work he did, was that the temple was neglected and desecrated. The priests left their posts, and people fell back into their old ways. Now, I'm going to say this, but you know, I'll say it with like I have a sadness about this, because I've seen this kind of stuff before. I've even seen it myself, like, when I was younger. Now, there's this other scripture. It was part of like when they had their festival. They said this is in Nehemiah 8, and this is verse 17. You don't have to bring it up. It's okay. But it talks about how they had this festival. They went out, and they lived in these temporary shelters. And like daily just worshiping God, getting to know God better through the law. And it says, the whole company that had returned from exile but built temporary shelters and lived in them from the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated it like this, and their joy is very great. So you have these people, and I told you earlier where, you know, they told them, hey, don't be sad, be happy. They had this moment, this encounter with God, like, you know, this amazing time where it's like, look, God has answered what scripture tells us. God has answered all of his promises. And they celebrated that. And for a time, they did well. And like I was going to say, the sad thing is I've seen this before, where people will go to the altar. People will go to like a conference, or people will go to, it's even sad to say this. I'll say kids. Go to the youth events. I have a powerful encounter with God. And I'm not saying it's fake. I know it's genuine. But they forget. Or maybe apathy sets in. Or they want to live their life. And I see those people just fade away. People that were once at church, no longer there. Not even going to a different church, because I don't care what church you go to. Still follow God. You know, it's always necessary to guard our hearts. It's great to have those events, those moments in our life where God just moves powerfully. And we have this great testimony to tell. But also we have to be like the runners running the race, where we're training and disciplining ourselves constantly so we don't lose sight of that love that we have for God. Now, we were singing something earlier. And the words were that God, telling us that God is an artist. And we're the canvas and the clay. Now, I want you, everybody, to know this. It's like, you're not just like factory stamped out people, right? There's never going to be another you again. Ever. In Ephesians 2:10, it says that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In the, I believe it's the King James, it doesn't say handiwork, it says masterpiece. And I want you to know that God actually looked at you. He actually formed you. Himself. But he didn't do it just for any reason. Like, okay, we'll just put that out there. That'll be a fun thing to have. Right? What does it say? To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You know, if you feel stuck or you feel struggling in life, make sure the thing that you're doing is actually what you've been called to do. And know that everybody does have a calling on their life. You know, as I said earlier, before communion, that you multiple times, find your purpose, carry out your purpose. And, you know, I've said this story multiple times. I was a Christian for years, since I was a little kid. Okay. How old did you say I was when I started speaking in tongues? 2.5? Okay. Because we were at a church and nobody wanted to go up, speak in tongues. And I was like, I'll do it. So I went up and I did it. So I've known God since, just being a little guy. But the thing was, I wasn't truly following him in a way that I should have been until about, how long has this church been around? 7, 8 years? Yeah, 7 or 8 years. Who knows? Maybe I would be giving a sermon a lot earlier if I would have been responsive a lot earlier, right? I'll tell you, this week for me was rough. Christmas week, all right? Christmas Eve, my son is sick, right? So at my mom's house, we're having my wife's side of the family go over there and celebrate Christmas. Poor little Ben could not go and celebrate Christmas because I stayed there at home with him and, took care of him. And it's funny, I was telling people at work, I was like, all I need to do is just hold on until Saturday. This is last Saturday. And I'll be okay. I'm tired. I need some rest. Right? This whole week was about me taking care of my kid and my wife because she got sick. So, and of course, the kid wants to wake up 6 in the morning every day and not go to sleep until like 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And then woke up multiple times during the night. I need a boogie wipe. So I was tired, right? But the thing is doing this gives me life. This gives me energy. And I'm telling you, if you feel drained, maybe you should see what it is you need to be doing. Okay, what your job is not who you are. Who you are is who God made you to be. And you need to know his word and need to have a relationship with him in order to do that. And you're going to have that life, that joy, that peace. You just got to do what God's calling you to do. And I know this. In Matthew 11, verses 29 and 30, it says this, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Do you know why that is? It's because God prepared those works in advance for us to do. He's equipped you to be who you need to be. Okay? He has provided what you need to carry out whatever his plan is for you. And you may think that, being obedient or sacrificing what you have is painful, or those are bad words, but those are actually good words. And it's the opposite. The world is upside down. Okay? What Christ sees, what God has planned for us is the opposite direction. Obedience and sacrifice is a good thing. It brings you happiness, brings you joy, gives you peace, gives you life. And it also says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if you feel weighed down by something, just follow God. Just do what he's asking. It'll be easier. I'm not saying it is super easy, because you will have faced trials. But if you have somebody you know that's always going to bring you through everything, that makes everything easier. It's like, I'm not going to fail because I have God on my side. Does he work everything together for our good? So, just know that we need to stay humble. We're not better than anybody else, even our enemies. Okay? There are people that need saving too. There are people that need prayer. But we also need to be aware of ourselves and what we need to change, because we need prayer too. And if you have a broken area in your life, know you can rebuild it. Okay? Because just like we said a moment ago, is God works everything together for our good. And don't be ashamed, you have to rebuild, because that's a testimony. Okay? Not only is it a testimony, but it shows our love for God, and it shows God's love for us. And when God is in anything, it's nothing to be ashamed of. So, Pastor, will you come up and close?
Thank you, Abe. Good words. Praise God. I enjoyed listening to this young man. He came in being pulled in by his mom. And it just so happened that we had a broken computer that morning. Is that right, Abe? Projector, yeah. And so his mom knows her son. She goes, you can fix that. And he goes, leave me alone, Mom. Leave me alone, Mom. But isn't it crazy how God has ways of attracting you into the kingdom? Is that right? Amen. Praise God. And, you know, folks, can I tell you, this is 2023 now. I really do believe with all my heart that the kingdom of God is going to be exposed in the earth, that God by his Holy Spirit is going to use his people to show the world that, yeah, there is a God. How many say amen to that? That he's real, he's alive, and he knows what's going on. You can't hide from God. How many say amen to that? God knows everything that's going on in your life. Everything. And sometimes, yeah, the walls get broken down in our lives. How many say, you know what I'm talking about as a Christian? Sometimes it feels like the wall got broken or whatever. But most, I will tell you that if you will maintain your position before God as in humility and love, praying to him and going after him, that broken wall, God will show you why it's broken, and he will strengthen you so that wall never gets that break again. Can you say amen to that? Because God is building us. He's not trying to tear us down. The things you go through, God has, well, like Abe was saying earlier, he said he formed us with all our works in us from the beginning of the world. So in all of our lives, he has, you can picture God saying, well, I'm going to put this in his life. He's not going to like this, but he's going to find that it was really good for him. Can you picture God doing that for you? Sometimes we go through things we don't like. I mean, say amen to that. Anybody ever gone through something you didn't like? Come on, man. Hallelujah. But know this, that God is strengthening you even then, because if you take that before him, he will turn it into kingdom glory for your life. Is that okay? You'll have an answer if somebody goes through the same thing. You'll be able to console them, comfort them, because, hey, look, this is what God did for me. So I know if you continue to watch God, you're going to see him do something for you. We call this, in this house, what we call it, it's called being independent. independently dependent on him. Folks, the time has changed. God's not looking for you to be dependent upon your pastor or upon your brother and your sister. You need to be dependent upon him and him alone. And he will lead you and guide you into what he's done for you, what he's already placed within you. You are the body of Christ, and everyone in particular has a gift that you will contribute to the body. When all the body starts to work together, it begins to be a very incredible machine. Can you say amen? I mean, I didn't want to call it machine, but it's the kingdom of God in your life. Amen. Abe is doing that. Abe's running, and I mean, he's doing all. I watch him. Can I tell you this? Let me just say this to you. He'll come in, and there'll be one kid in his youth group. One child. And he'll speak to that kid. He'll like he's speaking to a whole bunch of them. He is committed to the thing that God has given him to do. Let me just ask you this. 2023, are you committed to that which God has given you to do? If you don't know what it is, find out. The word of God said in Jeremiah 23, right? 23:11, if you seek him with your what? How much of your heart? Your whole heart. When you seek him with your whole heart, he'll give you a vision, an imprint of what he has for you. You follow that and you watch what he'll do with your life. It is an amazing thing what God is doing in the world today. Can you say amen to that? Come on, can you stand up just for a minute? Let's pray. 2023, amen, already? Come on, man. Ben is already how many years old? 3 years old. I remember when you, come on, man. I'm 23. Come on. Praise God. How many feel young in your life? How many feel young? You know, let me just say this to you. God has, he has made it so that you would operate in the dew of your youth. Do you believe that? I don't care how old you are. How you remember when you were young? Some of you that are older, how many of you remember when you're young? Shoot, I can remember like it's yesterday. Come on, man. Hallelujah. You are what God has planned for this season, for this time in the earth today. Know that and walk in it. Say, hey, man. And when you're around people, just like Abe was saying this morning, hey, speak to their hearts. Just say something to them. Like Linda was saying, hey, just, you know, just give them a smile. Give them a hi. Give them, a, you know, whatever it takes to demonstrate what God has done in your life. Amen. It's 2023. How many of you study the Bible? How many of you do the Bible in a year? Anybody? You know what? I like it. I'm in Genesis right now. Why? Because it's the beginning of the year. I hope to be done by somewhere in November with Revelation sometime. I hope to. But we'll see how it goes. But folks, get in the Word. For 2023, commit your life to him. If you haven't done it in a while, we're going to pray right now and say, Lord, help me to commit who I am to you. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. I mean, you want all the things added to you that he has for you. Then seek him first. Seek him first. Okay? Woo, praise God. You know it's raining outside? Does anybody know it's raining? It's raining pretty good out there. You know, rain is a blessing. God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. First day of the year, we got rain. He's saying, hey, I'm blessing. It's a time for blessing. So let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. I thank you for each and every heart, each and every person that's here this morning, Father. Father, your word says that without a vision, people perish. Lord, we know that we are not perishing. But Lord, some of us need a vision. Some of us need to know what you would have us to do. Father, we don't want to be rammed in random robots. We want to be led by your spirit. We want to hold that which is dear in our hearts out to those that are around us for your kingdom and for your glory. So, Father, I pray for your people this morning. Have your way in their lives. Have your way. Speak to them clearly, Father, when things are contrary to what you would have them to be doing. When things are contrary to the kingdom that's within them, speak to them, Father. I thank you for it this morning. I give you praise and glory and honor, God. In Jesus' name, does anybody agree? Amen. Say amen. Does anybody, listen, is there anybody in the house that has never given your heart to the Lord? Then I will say, I don't see any hands. Anybody? I don't see any hands. I'm going to say this, pray this prayer with me real quick. Just in case there's somebody that's just a little bit too shy, the hand might be going like this, or that's going, man, I want to get it up, but I can't get it up. Here is my hand. Just say this prayer with me. Everybody say this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for 2023. Lord, I believe you died for me. You poured out your blood for me. You died on a cross, and you were buried. Lord, on the third day, you rose again. And you say that if I will believe in you, I will be saved. So, Lord, I believe you. You died for me. I died on the cross with you, so I receive everything you have for me. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name that is above all names. In the name, hallelujah, that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord. Come on. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. If you said that prayer, hey, come and see somebody. Come and talk to me. Come and talk to somebody around you. Say, hey, man, I gave my heart to the Lord this morning. Hey, have a great week and have a great year. Amen. God bless you. The Lord let his face shine upon you and cause you to walk in the manner that he's made you free in. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you for coming this morning, January 2023. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.